I welcome each of you as we gather together tonight to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Son of God to this earth. We're going to have three scripture readings tonight. The first one is concerned with the conception of the Lord Jesus in the womb of the Virgin. And then we'll move on to His actual birth. So let's open up our bulletins and look with me, or you can just listen if you prefer, as I read to us from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew in regard to the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin. Reading God's Word. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We come to our third scripture lesson for tonight, taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, the story of the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And all God's people said,
Amen.
Tonight I want to invite you to join me at a holy place. I want to invite you to come with me to a sacred place, to the most holy and most sacred place on earth. Won't you join me? Won't you come to the holiest of holies with me? This sacred space, this holy place is to be found here tonight as we reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ at Bethlehem. As we think about the stable, about the manger, about the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and the angels. But this most sacred place, this most holy place is not Bethlehem. And it's not the stable or the manger per se. It is found here. Here tonight. Right here. And no matter who you are or what you are, it is what you need most. To come to this sacred place. To come to this holy place. Whether you are a good person who feels proud in your self-righteousness, or a really wicked person who has messed up your life, seemingly beyond repair by your many wrong choices. Whether you are rich in this world's goods or whether you are among the poorest of the poorest. Whether you are highly educated or you do not have much education. Whether you are young or old, black or white, male or female. No matter who you are, you need to come to this sacred and holy place. It is what you were designed for. It is what you will never be really satisfied or fulfilled unless you come to this holy place. You will never escape your self-righteousness. You will never escape your evil enslavements any other place. You must come to this holy place. What do I mean by this sacred place, this holy place? That is the Bible's way of speaking of human beings being reconciled to God. Human beings coming into the very presence of the holy God who made heaven and earth. Coming to God personally. Knowing God. Learning to love God and to know His love firsthand. To talk of coming to the holy place. is the Bible's way of speaking of being in fellowship with God, of being God's friend forever, of having one's sins forgiven and being accepted by God because of His grace. At the church, we learn about this sacred place. We gather together to worship God through Jesus Christ. We learn about this holy place where God meets with sinful people like you and me, where sinful people like you and me find God's forgiveness and experience God's love and learn to love Him, where we become God's friends forever. But though by God's grace the church is a sacred place in one sense, it is a holy place. I don't mean the building, but I mean the gathering of God's people, that God is present there. It's a holy place. God meets with redeemed sinners by His Holy Spirit's presence. That is only possible because of another and much more holy and sacred place. The church is a holy place now, but it's not the Holy of Holies. Because of the most sacred place, because of the Holy of Holies that I invite you to tonight, the church is a place where human beings meet with the all-holy God and are not destroyed in their sin. So the place I invite you to is not just a church tonight, but what lies behind the church. If not for Bethlehem and the stable and the manger a little over 2,000 years ago, we could not come to this holy, sacred place. We could not meet with God in His holy place. But neither Bethlehem, nor the stable, nor the manger are the holy place I'm speaking of, that I'm inviting you to tonight. The climax of the holy place I'm speaking of, this sacred space, will be to spend eternity with God forever in heaven, in a place of perfect love, perfect joy, where there's no hatred, no war, no unhappiness, no tears, no pain. But I'm not speaking of heaven per se, though heaven will be the result of what I'm speaking of. If you do not come to the sacred place I'm speaking of tonight, if you do not come to this holy place that I, as a minister of Jesus Christ, invite you to tonight, you will not be able to go to heaven. For until we come to the sacred place of which I'm speaking, our sins stand between us and God. And so our sins stand between us and heaven. Where is this sacred place I'm inviting you to? How does one get there? The sacred place is that place where the holy God meets with a sinner who's in need of God's mercy, and where the sinner receives God's mercy. Originally, the Garden of Eden was this holy place before there was sin in the world. Adam and Eve, we're told in God's Word, walked with God in the cool of the evening. They fellowshiped with the living God. They enjoyed His presence. His presence, the place of infinite joy and complete satisfaction. But then they sinned. They were cast out of that garden. They were cast away from that fellowship with God. They were thrown into a wilderness because of their sin. For our sins separate us from God. And our sins must be removed for us to come into God's holy presence and be accepted by Him. The prophet Isaiah, 7 centuries before Christ came, said this, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." We cannot come into God's sacred place. We cannot come into His Holy of Holies, where God Himself is to be found, until our sins are forgiven and we have God's mercy. Where has God met with sinners in this way? God met with Adam and Eve after they fell into their sin, after they were forced to leave paradise, and after they hid from God. God came to them. He made them coverings of animal skins to hide their guilt so that they could fellowship with Him again. This was seen also when their son Abel sacrificed a lamb to worship God and was accepted, whereas his brother Cain sacrificed crops and was not accepted. a bloody sacrifice that removed the guilt of sin was prerequisite for meeting with God in fellowship again. For God will not look on sin with favor. There must be punishment. And then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob met with God at various altars they made for sacrificing. Again, God was meeting with them at that point, for their guilt was removed by the death of a substitute, so that they could fellowship with God. Abraham could then be called the friend of God. Moses and the nation of Israel were led out of Egypt by God's mercy and were commanded to make a tabernacle, a huge tent, where God would come and would meet with His people Israel, meet with them in His favor upon them, when they offered animal sacrifices to remove the guilt of their sin. When they were faithful to believe God's promise in this way, God was faithful to meet with them and to show them His favor and His mercy. And so throughout the history of Israel, from Moses until Solomon, God continued to meet with the people at the altar that He had commanded them to make, at the tabernacle, where they sought God's mercy by faith. And so they met with God and were in fellowship with God. It's interesting, when they first made and dedicated that tabernacle, that huge tent, as a place to meet with God, God manifested His holy presence by filling that tabernacle with a cloud, a literal cloud that symbolized God's presence. The priest, on that day they dedicated the tabernacle, when that cloud was there, the priest could not stand within the tabernacle because the cloud of God's glory filled the entire tent. This, you see, was a sign to the Israelites that God would always be present. They could come to Him and meet Him in His holy place, that they would always seek His grace in the way that He had commanded them to, by sacrificing a substitute for their sin. That tabernacle became a more permanent structure when Solomon built a temple, this time not a tent, but a huge building made of stone. And again, the place where sacrifices were made to remove the guilt of sin before God. So that again, we find on the day that Solomon dedicated the temple, God manifested His glorious presence in the midst of His people by filling that temple on that day with the cloud of His glorious presence. And again on that day, the priest could not stand in the temple because of the glory of God manifested there. But all these Old Testament ways of God meeting with sinners had definite limitations. And I am not calling you to come with me to those sacred places of the Old Testament, those altars for sacrificing animals. They no longer have God's approval. The New Testament book of Hebrews mentions three main problems, three main limitations on those Old Testament sacred places. First, the sacrifices offered there had to be offered again and again and again, signifying that those sacrifices of those animals really did not remove the guilt of sin. If they had removed the guilt of sin, you could have just offered it once, and that would have reconciled sinners to God forever. Well, what was the purpose of those sacrifices then? To point ahead to one historic sacrifice for sin that would be made for all time, that would atone for all the sins of all God's people in all times and in all places. Secondly, those holy places were only likenesses of the true Holy of Holies, where God fellowships with redeemed sinners forever. Both the temple and the tabernacle were only pictures. They were not realities. They were not the reality. They pointed to the reality. They pointed to something more real and more enduring than themselves. And so, in the very symbolism itself, we find that the people in the tabernacle and in the temple could not come into the very presence of God. They had to be represented by human priests. And even among the human priests, all the priests could not come into the very Holy of Holies where God would meet with His people. Only one priest could come into the Holy of Holies, the high priest. And he couldn't even come all the time. He couldn't come every day. He can only come one day each year to make a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And all of that then symbolized the fact that the very way into close fellowship with God, this intimate fellowship with God, was not yet opened up. It was symbolized. It was signified in these signs and these altars and this tabernacle and this temple. But the fulfillment was not yet there. And so these Old Testament sacred places were only pointing to a sacred place in which sinners could actually meet with the Holy God and could actually be reconciled to God by a once-for-all sacrifice for sin that would never need repeating because it was totally successful forever. And that brings us to Bethlehem. No, with all this talk on the history of Israel, I've not forgotten why we're here tonight. We come to Bethlehem. We come to the manger. We come to the baby born of the virgin. That baby, that man who grew from that baby, is himself the Holy of Holies that was being pictured in all these Old Testament pictures. It's not the church that is the Holy of Holies. We gather to meet with God at the Holy of Holies as we gather together in the name of Christ. It's Christ Himself who is the Holy of Holies. Who is Christ? He is God come into our very midst. What is the Holy of Holies? It's that place where God meets with sinners in His grace. And we are not destroyed because of God's mercy. Jesus Christ is that Holy of Holies. There's an incredible verse in the Gospel according to John. In chapter 1, he talks there about this one who is the Word, who was with God and is God. He affirms that this Word who comes is God spoken to us. It makes it clear that he's speaking of Jesus Christ. And then he says an interesting thing about the Word who is God. He says, the Word became flesh. That is, the Word took on human nature and dwelt among us. But it's interesting that most of our English translations do translate it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But that word that we translate dwelt is actually the word tabernacle, being used as a verb. John takes that idea of the tabernacle and uses it as a verb. He says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus is the tabernacle. Jesus is the Holy of Holies. When we come to Jesus Christ, we're coming to God. The New Testament teaches that Jesus Christ is truly God. This baby, conceived in the womb of the Virgin, born of the Virgin, laid in the manger at Bethlehem, according to God's eternal Word, is Himself the eternal and divine Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. We are baptized in the name of God, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here is the Son. He is the Word who was with God and is God. John chapter 1, verse 1. He is truly Emmanuel, God with us, as we read tonight in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The New Testament teaches that Jesus Christ, who is truly God, as He came to this earth, received a genuine human nature, but without sin, when He was conceived and born of the Virgin. Paul refers to Him as God in the Epistle to the Romans. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the same apostle describes Him as the man, Christ Jesus. Truly God. Truly human. Truly God. Truly man. And that same verse, 1 Timothy 2:5, tells us why this is important. It tells us that Jesus is both God and man in one unique person, is the only mediator between the Holy God and sinful human beings. He's the only go-between. If we're going to meet with God, if we're going to come to a holy place, we can meet with God. It is Jesus who is that holy place. It is in Jesus that we can meet with God Himself. As we trust in Jesus Christ, we are brought into spiritual union with Him. And in spiritual union with Jesus Christ, we're in spiritual union with the Holy Trinity. For He is the second person in the Trinity. Therefore, in the Mediator, Jesus Christ, we meet with God personally. And when we meet with God in Jesus Christ, we are accepted by God in Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is not only the Mediator, He died on the cross to pay that once for all penalty for all the sins of all His people for all time. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you will find that all your sins are atoned for by His death, and that this is proven by His resurrection from the dead. So your sins are pardoned, no matter how many, no matter how bad, when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and bow before Him as the Lord. And you are reconciled to God, and you are God's friend, as Abraham was. In the incarnate person, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and we meet with God. He and His redemptive work are the sacred place, the holy place, where sinners and God meet and are friends. Dying on the cross to reconcile us to God is why He was born. When Jesus grew up, He said, "I have come to give my life a ransom for many." He said, "I have come that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. How do we come to this holy place? How do we come to the sacred place where we receive God's mercy, where we become His eternal friends, where we enter His presence in the Holy of Holies and do not perish? Jesus Himself told us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." Jesus said, "Come to the Son," referring to Himself. "Come to the Son that you might have life, and no one can take that life from you." Jesus said, "I lay down My life for the sheep, and My sheep know Me, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life." How? By trusting in Him, and not trusting in ourselves to win favor with God. By trusting in His death on the cross as our one sacrifice for sin, and not trying to make God happy with our own supposed self-righteousness. By confessing that you are a sinner, and that you cannot deliver yourself or make yourself right with God. And so putting your faith entirely in Jesus Christ as the One who is truly God, truly perfect man, trusting in Him as the only Mediator with God, by whom you come to God and become reconciled to God forever. By coming to Jesus Christ, the Holy of Holies, the sacred place where the sinner meets with God and finds God full of mercy and grace. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we thank You that You sent forth Your only begotten Son, that we might meet with You in Him, that in Him we might be reconciled to You because of His atoning death for our sin, because He is the one and only Mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, if there are any here tonight who, having never trusted in Your Son as Savior and Lord, have not yet come to that holy place, to come into Your very presence and been reconciled to You, knowing that all their sins are forgiven by Christ's sacrifice, I pray, Heavenly Father, that by Your Holy Spirit You would use the word of Your gospel, that You would work in their hearts a desire to be reconciled to You, that You would grant them an ability to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to come to Him, to believe in Him, to know their sins forgiven, to be reconciled to you forever. I pray, Heavenly Father, that in your mercy, you would draw us sinful people to you. We thank you, as those who have already trusted in your grace, for how you so freely loved us, in spite of our sin, and sent your Son to be our Savior. We rejoice. Tonight we gather to rejoice and to celebrate His coming into this world. We praise you that because of Him, we have everlasting life. Help us to live to His glory. Help us to honor you by following your word and the power of the grace of Jesus Christ. We pray in His holy name. Amen.